A view from Latin America, sexual abuse without consequences. This week's article examines a recurring pattern in the handling of clergy sexual abuse cases in Latin America, the acknowledgement of wrongdoing without meaningful institutional or judicial consequences. Taking Chile as a central case, it argues that this outcome is not accidental, but the product of structural features shared by both ecclesiastical and civil systems. The immediate trigger is a May ruling in Chile, where a judicial official publicly confirmed that former Archbishop Francisco José Cox Junius was a sexual predator and that the Catholic Church had protected him. Although the facts had long been known, victims had come forward years earlier. The ruling exemplifies a broader phenomenon: formal recognition of abuse without effective accountability. The Cox Junius's case is placed alongside that of former U.S. Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. Both figures rose to the highest levels of the church despite extensive allegations of abuse. However, the two diverge in how their cases were handled institutionally. In the United States, the Vatican produced a detailed report reconstructing what was known about McCarrick at different stages of his career. In Chile, no comparable report exists for Cox Junius. This asymmetry is not doctrinal. The church's teachings are identical in both countries, but reflects differences in the willingness of national authorities to pursue accountability. The absence of documentation has important consequences. Even in the McCarrick case, which benefits from unprecedented access to internal archives, key decisions remain unexplained, such as why Pope John Paul II disregarded multiple warnings. This demonstrates a broader limitation. Institutional opacity creates irreducible uncertainty. Where documentation is lacking, analysis inevitably relies on inference. In more opaque cases like Cox Junius's, definitive explanations become structurally impossible. What appears as speculation is thus a reflection of how information is controlled within the church. This opacity is reinforced by institutional incentives. The church's leadership historically prioritized expansion, influence, and internal cohesion over accountability. Allegations of abuse were not treated as disqualifying factors for advancement, particularly when individuals possessed political or social utility. McCarrick's career illustrates this dynamic. His effectiveness as a fundraiser and intermediary with U.S. power structures outweighed the credibility of accusations against him. The article suggests that similar logics may have shaped Cox Junius's trajectory, including his transfer to Rome and later appointments. The Chilean case also reveals the importance of local context. During the period when Cox Junius was active, multiple high-profile abusers operated simultaneously in Santiago, particularly within affluent areas such as Providencia. Figures such as Fernando Caradima, Renato Pobletti, and others functioned within overlapping institutional and social environments. Their proximity suggests not coordination, but a permissive setting characterized by concentrated power, dense networks, and limited oversight. At the state level, the problem is compounded by legal doctrine. Recent rulings in Chile and Argentina have recognized abuse but dismissed criminal responsibility based on statutes of limitations. The article contrasts this approach with emerging jurisprudence from the Inter-American Human Rights System, which holds that such limitations are incompatible with the obligation to investigate serious violations. According to this doctrine, when institutional cover-ups delay justice, the state cannot later invoke the passage of time to avoid accountability. Failing to act renders legal remedies illusory and perpetuates impunity. Across different cases, Cox in Chile, Ilaraz in Argentina, and others, the same pattern emerges. Crimes are acknowledged, but institutions remain largely untouched and victims receive neither justice nor reparations. This stands in contrast to developments in jurisdictions such as parts of the United States and Europe, where legal and ecclesiastical authorities have begun to adopt more robust accountability mechanisms. The article concludes that the main issue is not disbelief in victims, but a systemic inability or unwillingness to translate acknowledgement into consequences. Both church and state operate within frameworks that allow wrongdoing to be recognized without being effectively addressed. Until those structures change, the cycle of abuse and impunity is likely to persist.